Last week, D.C.'s East of the River community lost a central figure, longtime community activist Teresa Howe Jones, who passed away at the age of 84. You may have previously heard her voice on WAMU as part of the Anacostia Unmapped series.
My name is Teresa Howe Jones. I'm homegrown here east of the river. I've lived in the same house I live in now 45 years. I raised my family here and I plan to stay here until they put me somewhere.
Joining us to remember the lifelong Washingtonian and explore her impact on the Anacostia community is Philip Pinnell, a longtime community advocate in D.C.'s Ward 8 and currently serving as the executive director of the Anacostia Coordinating Council. Philip, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
And Jackie Ward is a realtor and former ANC commissioner in Ward 8, and she considers Teresa Howe Jones her mentor. Jackie, it's good to have you as well.
Thank you very much.
And of course, we'd love to hear from you, too. Do you know Teresa Howe Jones or her work, and what do you remember about her? You can call in at 1-800-433-8850. So questions for both of you. You both worked side by side with Teresa Howe Jones, or TJ, as many called her, for decades in the Ward 8 community. Tell us about some of her accomplishments east of the river. Jackie, you want to go first?
She ran the best social service agency east of the river. She was a champion for, I always call her a black nationalist, but also a pragmatist. She believed that if you had land, you kept it in your home, your family for generations, which sometimes was against my credo
as
a realtor. So 4 years ago, she sat me down and we had a conversation. And the conversation led to conversation on gentrification. And she said, she told me what I'm doing in Ward 8, east of the river, is looking at it wrong. What I should be doing is bringing young people into the home buying sphere in Ward 8 so they can stay here. So that's the kind of work I've been doing. And look at the housing problems that we had in the ward and see if I can impact them and set about the idea of bringing to people together to correct them.
Philip.
Yes.
Tell us what it was like working with Teresa Howe Jones and some of her accomplishments that you really respect.
Always inspiring and stimulating. I knew Teresa for 40 years.
Wow.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, Teresa was one of the founding members of the organization that I am now the director of.
That's
the
right.
Anacostia Coordinating Council. But there was no issue that came before the community that Teresa was not involved with. Whenever she spoke, everyone listened. Even if hers was the only dissenting voice in a room, she is such an icon. And they know that if she spoke, then it mattered. Teresa dealt with every issue from AIDS to zoning. She served as the chair of the Anacostia Economic Development Corporation for many years. She was the chair of the advisory board of the Smithsonian Anacostia Community Museum. She was chair of her advisory neighborhood commission, 8D. She was one of the founding members of the Ward 8 Democrats. And she did... She was always a very clear and unambiguous voice for social, economic, and political justice. Always spoke up for the folks who were in the shadows of life.
We've already got a lot of calls coming in. I'm going to start bringing those in right as part of the conversation. And just as a reminder, if you want to call in and share your thoughts about Teresa Howe Jones, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-433-8850. I'm going to take these calls. If either of you want to respond, just jump on in. Let's start with Deborah in Washington. Deborah, you want to tell us who you are?
Yes, this is Deborah Jones. I am Teresa's oldest daughter.
And thank you for calling in.
Sure, no problem. Avery said if I called in, you guys would ask me questions. So here I am. And thank you, Phil. And thank you, Jackie, for being on the show and talking so great.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome. I love your mom.
Yeah, I know.
So as Teresa's oldest daughter, you obviously had a very unique perspective on the work that she was doing in Ward 8, you know, growing up and seeing her as an activist. So tell us what it was like both as a member of the community to see the work your mom was doing, and maybe that it's something you did you appreciate it as a child or appreciate it more as you grew older? And also just what it was like having a mom who was out there really doing this work.
Well, you know, as kids, I always put in the bios that she volunteered us. She would tell people things that she would do or things that she would send. And one of us is who would show up to do the deliveries or to do the volunteer work. And my youngest brother mentioned the other day that she didn't really volunteer us. She voluntold us, like in the military. But we got it done. And when I started, you know, doing community, going to community meetings, everyone thought I was there to represent her. And I had it was a big issue with me trying to make people understand that I was there for me because my job, you know, my job touches the community as well. So I would, you know, and I live in the community. I live in Ward 8, so I would go to the meetings. But I had to, you know, sort of let people know I wasn't trying to fill her shoes, that I had my own agenda, and I was there to give my, you know, information or give my time for different issues. Yeah.
Well, Deborah, thanks very much for calling in and sharing those thoughts about your mom. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Let's take another call now from Yvonne in Washington. Yvonne, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just have to say hi to Phil and Jackie and thank you for what you said about TJ, because TJ and I go way back. We were friends that talked every week. As a matter of fact, I talked to her Friday and she was so tired and I said, I'll call you back. But she was a person that was not selfish. She had a wealth of knowledge that she shared, and whatever she could do to help anybody at any time. And like Deborah said, not only did she volunteer them, she voluntold them, because she would send Gregory over here to bring stuff for me to give my constituents. She always had a knowledge of where I could send my constituents to get any services they needed. She is going to be missed. She is truly going to be missed. And she was a very good friend. And if she was your friend, TJ was a friend. Thank you.
Yvonne, thanks for that very heartfelt comment. Philip, do you want to follow up on that? Tell us what it was like. I mean, it sounds like she was really the core of the community just from the few
absolutely.
Comments we've had.
And it's really amazing that Teresa got any sleep, because as you heard from, as Yvonne said, she would call you
right.
Like every week. I quite literally spoke with Teresa almost every week for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was always on top of things. You could call many times, mm-hmm. and you get that busy signal. She never got call waiting.
Her business hours, yes. Mm-hmm. We had a private joke. Her business hours were 9 to 9, Monday through Friday. Her business hours on Saturday was 10 to 2. And Sunday, she used to take the day off. But one of my private jokes for her was, I said, you know, you need to take a vacation. And, you know, I said, when are you going to take a vacation? About a month ago, she disappeared for 2 days. And her phone actually rang throughout the day. You know, and that was unusual because her phone would be busy. And it ended up she was at Georgetown. You know, and I was in a panic calling everybody I knew and said, where's Teresa? And they said, why? I said, because her phone is actually ringing. Her phone does not ring. Yes. You called it at 9 o'clock in the morning. The phone is busy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Teresa.
And there was really no clear demarcation between her professional life and mm-hmm. And what she did on a volunteer basis. She served for many years, you know, like for the United Planning Organization on staff there, doing community engagement. But she did the same things, you know, like doing her personal time. Even after she retired, she kept
true.
Going. And she was a tremendous inspiration, because she went back to graduate school Right. Mm-hmm. Like, as a middle-aged student commuting to Lincoln University in Pennsylvania to get her degree in social work, just a tremendous
and
inspiration.
And when she was in her 70s, she went to D.C. Neighborhood College at George Washington University here. The ironic thing is she could have taught the class. I didn't know why she was a student, because she really taught us about what it was to be an ANC and the strengths that you bring to the community.
As I mentioned, Teresa previously appeared on WAMU in an interview that was part of the Anacostia Unmapped series. She spoke to another community activist, Kimone Freeman, about gentrification in her neighborhood.
We have aggressive gentrification. I get cards every day or every other day. I'm certain to get them every week. I want to sell your house at 4021st Place. If I sold this house, which I'm not going to do, I could not buy another house anywhere in the District of Columbia at the same caliber of this house. It's all bricks, four bedrooms, two baths, all that business. Now, I don't know how we put brakes on this stuff. And to give you an example, St. Elizabeth's is a done deal, but it's not a deal to help us stay here. It's a deal to bring white people into the area because they want it back. No doubt about it. I don't care how you look at it, it's blatantly clear. I don't know how we stop the gentrification. I don't know. Change is all right as long as change is beneficial to everybody. And the change that's happening out here is not.
Jackie, were you one of those people sending her the cards trying to buy her house?
No, I was not. I used to hear about that every week. And when I went over to her house, she brought her neighbors over me to show me the cards. So, no. I know her policy. She told me what her policy was. She said, Jackie, what you are designed to do is you need to go and help those people who can't get a home find a way to help them buy a home. But as for the homes around here, they're staying in the family. And I think in terms of real estate, we only had one problem, and that was recently about a building on Martin Luther King. And she was fiercely, she wanted to preserve Ward 8 for as many people who wanted to stay there.
Let's take some more calls. Let's go to Sherry in Washington. Sherry, thanks for holding.
Good afternoon to Philip and Jackie. I'm Sherry Brown. I'm one of the brothers who organized the Malcolm X Day celebrations in Anacostia Park for 25 years, along with John Blake, Charles Stevenson, Malik Edwards, and Teresa Jones helped us get started. In fact, she let us hold meetings at her house. She showed us how to relate to district government. When we got down, she would pick up our morale, because in those days we faced a lot of opposition because the Park Service didn't want us in Anacostia Park, and a lot of people didn't want to support a celebration honoring Malcolm X. He was viewed differently in that era. So when we would get down, she would pick us up, and she just showed us, you know, how to organize the community and told us to keep on going, even though we would get discouraged and want to stop. She said, keep going, because, you know, in the long run, what you're doing will pay off, and people will understand that what you're doing is right. And she was right, you know. And so I just had to call in to honor her, because she's, you know, we don't get warriors like her very often. You know, and we're losing too many of them, along with another brother that we just lost, Sam Jordan, recently. You know, we're losing too many of our pillars of the community, like Sam Jordan and Teresa Jones. So, you know, I hope they rest in peace, and we all, you know, they'll all live in our hearts and our minds forever.
Sherry, thanks very much for your call. Let's take one more tribute. We're running low on time, but Diane in Washington, D.C., I don't want to cut you too short, but we're low on time, so please keep it quick.
Certainly. This is Diane Fleming, Ward 8 resident. I served with Teresa on the AEDC board for many, many years. She was the chairperson. She was not only concerned about Ward 8, but the whole city. She was a political movement, a wealth of knowledge. She had a very wonderful sense of humor, but she didn't pull any punches. And she will be truly missed. But we all learned a lot from her, and hopefully we can continue to carry her legacy throughout our ward and city.
Thanks very much for your call, Diane. We only have about 30 seconds left, but Philip, I want to give you the last word. Do you see any young activists taking up the work that she left behind?
Oh, absolutely. The most dramatic example is our Ward 8 council member, Trayon White, who sent out a very moving mm-hmm. statement about that. And he considered Teresa somewhat of a mentor. Yes.
Well, if you'd like to pay your respects to Teresa, viewings will be held today, Thursday, July 20th, from 6 to 9 at Fraser Mason Memorial Funeral Home at 1661 Good Hope Road Southeast, and tomorrow, Friday, July 21st, from 10 a.m. until the time of the service at 11 at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Roman Catholic Church, 1600 Morris Road in Southeast. And in lieu of flowers, if you'd like, you can make a donation to the Albert R. Butch Hopkins Scholarship Fund at AEDC. I'd like to thank both of our guests, Philip Fennell and Jackie Ward, for coming in to share their thoughts on Teresa Howe Jones. It was great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Inviting us.
And that's it for the show today, but there's always more happening online and in your neighborhoods, which is where we're going to be next Tuesday. The next edition of Kojo in Your Community is happening then at George Mason University's Arlington campus at 6:30 p.m. Kojo will be hosting a conversation about gun rights, law, and gun safety. The event's open to the public and it's free, and you can find all the information about it on our website, kojoshow.org. Don't forget to meet us back here on the air tomorrow at noon for the Politics Hour. We'll be talking to Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton and to John Whitbeck, the chairman of the Virginia Republican Party. That's from noon till 1 tomorrow. Until then, I'm Jen Gulbeck, sitting in for Kojo today. Thanks so much for listening.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Ingelisa Schrobsdorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Avery Kleiman, and Patrick Fork. The engineer is Meg Bunting. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.